From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans of Bleed Blue Show, Big Blue Roundtable, Offensive Grades episodes. We're going to get some Giant fans to discuss this past season on the offense, get to the O-line, get to the tight ends, the running backs, the receivers, the quarterbacks. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Let me say this real quick. I keep on forgetting to mention this at the start of the last two episodes. I wanted to say congratulations to the Definition of Lit for winning the regular season title for the Pick'ems. But giving myself a pat on the back for winning the confidence picks in the playoffs. We will do this again starting next season, 2020, with the picks. Lit will defend his title for the regular season with confidence points, so it should be a good one. I thought this was some interesting news today from the NFL. The proposals from the owners as far as getting the extra playoff team in there in each conference and also reducing the number of preseason games from 4 to 3. And also the number one seed in each conference, AFC, NFC, that proposal as far as only the number one seed who secure a home field in each conference gets a bye. I thought that was, I think this is an interesting proposal. Definitely want to get the Giant fans or stakeholders, their thoughts on that. But this episode, we're going to be grading the offensive line, the tight ends, running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks. And then also get the thoughts as far as the combine, if any, because the combine starting this upcoming Sunday in Indianapolis, Indiana as well. Without further ado, we'll bring them on. Ed from the Big Blue Huddle, that would be GiantsFans.net for your message board for, Giants fans to come in and chop it up and have intelligent dialogue on the World Wide Web. Ed, man, what's going on? How's everything?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good, man. When people are filing in, we'll bring them on in an order that they call. We're going to start off with the offensive line, and people are going to call in. We'll get them on. Let's get right into it, Ed. Matter of fact, actually, before we do that, let me get your thoughts, man. Did you hear about the new CBA for 2021 and, of course, the NFL owners with the extra playoff teams in each conference? And if you did, what's your thoughts,
if any? But, I glossed over it. I really didn't analyze it in much detail. Are they going to be adding another regular season game and going to a 17-game schedule, or is that something that's still in the works?
No, this is all in a this is proposed, so it's all in the works, and that's another point I forgot to mention. That's the extra game is going to be a 17th game, and then they're going to reduce the preseason from 4 to 3.
I think we'll get used to it as a season ticket holder. Right now at least the Giants have reduced the prices of the preseason games. They're half the price of what a regular season game is, so the ticket price will go up. But I think I'd rather see a meaningful game. And we do go to training camp, and they do have a lot to take a look at in training camp besides the preseason. So I'm okay with it. I'm all for adding another game to the season. But this is going now. This is the end of the CBA. After this season,
right,
there are negotiations again with a new CBA. So all this has to tie in together with where the money's going to go and how it's going to break down. So there's a lot to see what's happening with this first.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, we'll bring on Kristen. Hey, Kristen, what's going on? We're going to get to the offense tonight, offensive line, tight ends, running backs, receivers, quarterbacks. But if you heard the news, Kristen, Ed just spoke on it as far as possibility. The owners want a 17th game is being proposed, an extra playoff team in each conference. Only the number one seed gets a bye, so there'll be three playoff games on Wild Card Weekend in each conference. But Kristen, what's your thoughts? How you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Pretty good.
I did kind of just jump in. So Is this just breaking news here?
I guess you could call it that, about an hour, two hours ago, so something like that. But that's kind of the gist of it. What is your thoughts? And do you have any thoughts, or you want to reserve those thoughts for a future date?
Yeah, I think I'll have to reserve it because I'm not knowing what too much about what's going on and what the proposal really is. I heard just a little bit, like I said, but
gotcha.
I'm just kind of jumping into the conversation. So, yeah, I'll save it.
Well, understood. Understood. All right, Ed, they're going to fire away, and everybody's going to get on right after you. Let's start with the O-line, Ed. Let's give it an overall grade, and also if you want to get into individual players, you know, similar format with the defense 2 weeks ago. But go ahead, Ed, fire away. We'll put you on the clock for the 4 minutes and then get to Kristen, and we'll write down a line.
You know, I could talk an hour on the offensive line. I think that there's so much going on with the offensive line that probably – you know, we get to the skill positions, we're not going to have as much to say. With the offensive line, I think you have to break it down, not just by the players, but how they pass blocked and how they run blocked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was an okay pass blocking team,
mm-hmm.
but it was a horrible run blocking team. And that caused a lot of the problems for the offense because they couldn't get a running game going, and there wasn't really a balance. And even though he tried to do that with the play calling, it just hurt the team totally. If you take a look at pass blocking, Nate Solder was the left tackle. To Litt's credit, you know, this is one of the players that has regressed. Now, he had personal problems and he had issues, and I get that. But he did regress. He gave up 11 sacks. I look at Pro Football Focus a lot. I've had that subscription for years, and they break it down in a lot more detail. They analyze every single snap for every single player. So besides watching the game and then going back and maybe reviewing the coach's tape and then taking a look at Pro Football Focus, you know, it kind of all comes into play. But he gave up 11 sacks. He gave up 57 total pressures. Mike Remmers, not as bad as a lot of fans have blasted him for. He was pretty good as a pass blocker. Will Hernandez was a decent pass blocker. John Jalapio as a center, he was a bad pass blocker and a bad run blocker. And Kevin Zeitler, the opposite, was a good pass blocker and a good run blocker. He was the only good run blocker on the team. And if you take a look at Daniel Jones on Pro Football Focus was credited with 9 sacks and 11 hits and 10 hurries because he held on to the ball too long. He didn't hit his checkdowns. Part of this is the receivers. Part of it is the play calling on the coaches by, you know, not they just don't – the receivers don't get open. They were running longer routes. There's reasons for it. They didn't have the players for it too. But if you take a look at how they ranked, they were 23rd in pass blocking efficiency. They were 27th. Second in run blocking. I think the league as a whole has a problem with run blocking. And I think that your better, more skilled players are on the defensive side of the ball. It takes a lot to develop an offensive line. Hal Hunter, in my opinion, as the offensive line coach, failed. They had a great offensive line coach a few years ago in Pat Flaherty, and they let him go. And that, to me, that was a big mistake. So I think what you got to look at with this offensive line is you got to take a look at the players that need to be replaced. We need a center. They either have to go to the draft. Hopefully they could find somebody in free agency that they can work with. Spencer Pulley as a center, he's horrible. So I would maybe look at Jalapio as a backup, but they need a starting center. They're not going to do anything with Nate Solder. He's got 2 years left on his contract. They're going to take a look at the right tackle position. And I would say that give a guy like Nick Gates, who did very well. I gave him a B+. He's a guy that can maybe compete for that right tackle position. Maybe Remmers, they can re-sign him as a swing tackle. They're going to need to do that. But they need to make some changes here. The team ranked 23rd in yards per game, 18th in points per game. They led the league in fumbles, which was a killer. They had 31 fumbles, and they lost 16 of them, a negative 16 ratio. They were 19th in third down conversion percentage, and time of possession, they were 28th. Points per game, they were 18th. So I gave them a C- totally. I gave the run blocking a D-. I gave the pass blocking a C+. And again, you know, the tight end position and the running backs are all part of this. We can go into that when we get into those skill positions, because they do have responsibilities in run and pass blocking too. Overall, again, I give them a C minus.
All right. Ed from the Big Blue Huddle, GiantsFans.net. KGYR's own Kristen, what's going on? Let's get to the offensive line. Or Kristen, if you have a question for Ed or myself, feel free to ask. But Kristen, your thoughts on the offensive line, your grades.
Oh, I'm pretty much about this. I'm about a C minus. Let's start with, at the O-line as a whole. If we could just keep the penalties down, avoid the sacks and the injuries, that would help tremendously. Just wanted to get that out there. Right side, obviously, is still weak for us. You know, I understand that Solder has problems, and I really hope that the guy gets the help that he needs, because he's mentally and physically checked out at this point. I mean, he's had some really bad games. He's just standing flat-footed. He's watching the guy run totally around him. I really just hope he does get the help that he needs. But as far as Hernandez, he only allowed 2 sacks. I like Will. I thought he did a great job. Zittler, I like him. Another problem that I had this year was the center and quarterback combo. We were exposed early due to bad line calls and just a better defense coming at us. I mean, that we were easy to read, and then we were just very repetitious after that. I do like Leonard Williams. I hope we really resign this guy. I would love to see him come back. I think he would be a really good force with us, and I think he's worth the money. Maybe not 15 mil, but maybe 12. I'll see you at maybe 11 and a half, 12. That's about it. But 15 is pushing it. Remmers, he had his time where he was okay, and he struggled also. But we've really got to do something about that side. We've got to draft also an offensive tackle, but that's for another day. I don't even want to get into that. That's basically those. That's what I got so far. But it's really, these injuries have cost them a lot. Also, you know, a lot of these guys are bouncing back from injuries. But at this point in the game, we really just need to draft smart. I really can't wait for this draft and see what we can pick up and add to what we have on top of the coaching staff that we just acquired. I hope we do really well. It looks good, but overall, offensive line, I give them about a C-. Quarterback, I'd even give him a C+.
Whoa, you're going too far. Quarterback,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, get a little too ahead. All right,
okay.
Cool. All right, do you have a question?
I got one question.
Okay.
One question. Just for everybody, I just want to throw it out there. I don't know if anybody remembers Adeji. Is he staying?
You come
are we
going to
keep
Kentucky?
This guy?
Yeah.
Are we keeping him? Yeah. The guy we have already. He's a wash, isn't he?
Ed, what's your thoughts on that?
I'm sorry, I missed the question. What was your question, Kristen?
She's talking about the tackle we drafted from Kentucky last year.
A
JG.
Rookie.
He started to look pretty good at the beginning, and then he had a concussion issue. So he was out on injured reserve, and he's somebody that a lot of fans are excited about, and hopefully he has a future. So he's a big guy, and I don't know enough about him to really say if he's going to make it or not, because he was just out there for a very short window. But that's a good point. He's somebody that they may look to develop. You know, you have this new offensive line coach and Mark Colombo, and hopefully, you know, we're going to see them doing a much better job in how they were coached. We're getting a lot of word through some of the sports writers and some of the people in the know that saying that this coaching staff might have been the worst coaching staff in the league. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but you know, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but on the offensive line, clearly, there was too many breakdowns that they needed to be coached better. They couldn't handle stunts. They were confused on who to pick up. So there was a lot of confusion there, but there was some regression. And again, I had a conversation with Lit after last week's podcast. And, you know, we were talking about regression, and this is something that he brought up. He said, you know, about a year ago that they were regressing, some of these players. And I agree with them. There was some regression. Will Hernandez regressed. Nate Solder regressed. John Jalapio, he never developed. So there were some problems there. So I'm all for a guy like that being developed. And I like Nick Gates a lot, Kristen. I see him as somebody that could compete for a starting job. I was hoping that he would take snaps over the winter to maybe try to compete for a center job. But he could play guard and he could play tackle. This is a guy I like him a lot.
I do too. He's good inside. He's good at right tackle, right guard, and he's a multi-purpose guy.
Yeah,
which is great. You can play him and move these guys around, which that is what we need. We've got to shake things up. You're gonna sub guys. Let's do it that way. You know, you want to rotate guys. Let's rotate them. Let's not sub them. Let's rotate these guys.
Well, especially in training
camp, when they're
getting some snaps.
Yeah.
Because you never know when he's going to have to come in and play guard or play tackle. Now, when you're training and you're weight training and you're putting on weight, you know, clearly your body has to adapt to one or the other. So you're going to be,
right.
you know, you're going to be training for one. So, you know, like a guard's going to have to be stronger. You're going to have to have more nimble feet and be able to move to the left. You know, you guys are boxing fans, Steve and Chris. I know you study boxing a lot. I'm a little bit of a boxing fan myself going way back. And you know what? When you got southpaws versus right-handed and how you circle and move to the left or the right, it's a whole different foot movement going on there. It's the same thing with the tackles.
Sure.
Right on. All right.
Exactly.
Now, Kristen, he mentioned the new offensive line coach, Mark Colombo, so I know you despise Dallas Cowboys.
God.
But this team is kind of going to be looking like this team is going to have a Dallas Cowboys offensive field with Jason Garrett as your offensive coordinator, Mark Colombo, former player as a Cowboy, and offensive line coach like 2 years ago or maybe last year. No, that was 2 years ago, something like that. So, but anyway, my grades. Me and Ed are similar. And now I wrote my grades down about 2 weeks ago. After I was analyzing it, I did everything like 2 weeks ago. I actually had the same grade as you, Kristen, overall C-, but I did break it down like Ed did. I had pass blocking for one grade, run blocking for another grade. I had pass blocking at a C, but run blocking was a D. And you would think an offensive line pretty much has been healthy in the entire normally this doesn't happen. When your offensive line, all your pieces are there all year round, you usually have success of maybe, you know, at least 8-8, 500. But the team, especially pass blocking, like Ed said, was horrific. We have issues. I had Solder as a D at pass blocking. Run blocking was a C. Will Hernandez was C pass blocking. I had him as a C+. I have the opposite. Run blocking was a C+. Pass blocking was a C. Me and Ed are in a similar ballpark with the center. Jalapio, D+ passing, C- pass blocking. Zeitler was the best pass blocker on the team, and obviously we kind of expected that because of his late track with the Browns. Even though you're taking on that contract, but B- passing, I had him down for, but the run blocking was a D+, man. But Remmers, he's a stop guy, man. He's a guy, he was only a fill-in, a plug for the future tackle, whoever that may be. Kind of like how I was kind of looking at my draft board over the last couple of weeks and preparing that. And that's going to be an episode for a future date. But I had Remmers at a run blocking at a C+, but his pass blocking at a B-. And I also threw in Gase as well. I had him on my list as well. When he did come in, I thought he was excellent in run blocking. And I gave him at a B-. But for all the points you said, Ed, it's definitely clear we struggled at left tackle. for whatever reason, the cause, like, Kristen, you are absolutely correct, or I agree, there is something missing, whether it was Jalapio to Manning or Jalapio to Jones. There was something missing as far as checks and protection, who to pick up who. You should not be this team was intact the entire year. You should have been better as far as going up against opposing teams' rushes. Those are deeper stats people look into as far as not just beyond sacks, but pass rushes and stuff like that, hurries, things like that. The whole point, what I'm trying to say is this. I think this team doesn't have the attitude or the skill set for run blocking. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe they can be coached up and Mark Colombo's coming on and you have Jason Garrett, but they're not working with Travis Frederick. They're not working with Zach Martin. They're not working with Tyron. These are all pros. I don't think we had those kind of run blockers that the Cowboys do, so we have our work cut out for us. So I say all this to say is I had a C- for the offensive line overall. I had a C at pass blocking and D run blocking. It really hurts me that the D is the run blocking because we all see it when we get to the running backs, especially number 26. He's got to play Barry Sanders. He's dancing in the backfield because the lanes are not being created and guys can't get to the second level on a run blocking tip. So that's an issue for this team. Let me see. I think Chris has inboxed me. He wanted me to I'll read all of his grades. Chris says run blocking was a horror show. Overall C minus. Overall C minus because of the effort. Zeitler need upgrade in free agency. We need to find a center in the draft. Can't seem to call. He said he can't call in. Okay, that's it for Chris. So I'm writing down these grades.
Nice.
Ed, you said overall, was it again, Ed?
Overall, I gave it a C minus. The pass blocking, I did a C plus and a D minus for the run blocking.
Gotcha. All right. We're in the same ballpark.
I think we're
Kristen,
on the same page here. Those
are my same grades.
Okay. All right. And you guys got my grades.
Can I interject something?
Please. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I want to spend a little more time on the offensive line. Have you ever looked at Pro Football Focus, Steve?
I have before. I have in the past. I have.
Okay. So I mean, just for the listeners and those that are going to come on later, they grade every single play, and they then come up with a score based on how they did with every single play. Did they defeat their man? Did they do better? Did they do worse? Did they do their job? So they have these grades, and 90 to 100 is an elite. 85 to 89 would be a Pro Bowler. 78 to 84 would be considered a starter. 60 to 69 is a backup. And 59 and below, they say this is a player you should replace. So
wow.
I'll just quickly give you the grades of these starting players. Nate Solder, pass blocking, a 69.2. So that makes him like close between a backup and a starter. His run blocking was a 52.9. That's
wow.
Bad. That's replaced. Mike Remmers was a 69.0 as a pass blocker. And again, that's kind of like a backup. And run blocking was a 55.7. And again, there's a lot of players in this league that fall into the elite category of 90 or better. So keep that in mind. So as center, Will Hernandez, pass blocking was a 72.8, which is good for a starter, but his run blocking was a 45.9. And John Jalapio, pass blocking 56.1, run blocking 55.1. He was bad across the board. Now look at Zeitler, pass blocking 75.0. best on the team, and run blocking 72.7. Again, very good. He's considered a starter. He did his job. I wonder if part of this has to do with the scheme that they were using. Were they misusing
yep.
how they were attacking the line? Were they not quick to get off on a snap to gain advantage of the defense? Were they angle blocking when they should have been zone blocking? For a group like this, you said it, Steve. The skill set was not there for the run blocking on this team, and I think it killed the offense this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. I just don't think we have an offensive line of maulers. Like, when I say maulers, I mean, you could just go back to the teams like Chris Knee or David Deals.
Yep.
Or those are those type of guys who set the tone at the office, at the line of scrimmage. This team doesn't have it. Now, so they kind of have to – I would even say wing it. I just think if you're looking for a team to, you know, get 6-7 yard runs and pound the ball, that's just not our offensive line. So you're playing with fire, and this is kind of what happens when you're having a lot of three and outs, and you can't get all, you know, you're always coming off the field, and your defense is getting burned out. So a lot of this is a boomerang effect between offense and defense of how bad a lot of the defense has been, and then the offensive line can't set the tone to stay on the field. Now, don't get me wrong, they've had glimpses of good drives here and there, but I mean, it was so minimal this season. So we're good on the offensive line. Let's get to the tight ends, Ed. Let's go to the tight ends, same format. What's your thoughts on the tight ends?
Okay, well, overall, I gave him a C. Evan Engram, he just can't seem to stay on the field. I gave him a C+. He's a pretty good receiver. He's a decent receiver. And I think that he develops as the year goes by and he gets better towards the end of the season. He did 2 years ago. He got to be a better pass blocker. But, again, just the fact that he wasn't on the field, it hurt the team. Red Ellison, I like Red Ellison. I think he's a good pass blocker. I think he was underutilized in the passing game. Unfortunately, because of the salary cap, he could be a cap casualty. They may look to save some money, but I would keep him. I like him. And maybe they should redo his contract. Caden Smith came on after some injuries. He had some key catches, but I think he was hyped a little too much by the fan base. And I think that we need to see more of him. So Red Ellison, I gave a B. Caden Smith, I would say a C-. He had some drops. He didn't do very well in blocking. Simonson, he was on IR with a concussion. Garrett Dickerson, he came up, I think, after Simonson went on IR. So overall, I gave the tight ends a C. But this is an important position because whether they're lined up in the slot or they're an inline tight end and they're there to either chip and go out for a pass or to block in the passing game and to support that, I don't think that they were utilized enough. And I think – with Jason Garrett now as the offensive coordinator, I'm getting a little excited here that maybe Freddie Kitchens as a tight end coach, he was a good tight end coach, and maybe they could do something with these tight ends, and maybe Evan Engram, Red Ellison, maybe they'll find somebody else that they could bring on. I know it's not the strongest draft as it was last year for tight ends, so it's going to be interesting to see how this position transitions with the new coaching staff.
All right, Kristen, what's your thoughts on the tight ends?
Overall grade on them is going to be a C+. Again, you know, Evan Engram, I like him. You know, if the guy would just stay healthy, we'd be all right. Shepard, I don't think he was played enough this season. These guys were subbed without even breaking a sweat. So they really didn't even get a chance to warm up some of these guys, honestly. So it's not completely their fault. But overall, the grade on them is going to be a C+. But Smith, I think he can be developed. This will be the season to see if he does. If he doesn't, then, you know, we could go from there. But, yeah, I agree that he was kind of hyped up a little bit too much. But I do like Smith, and I do think that he can come into his own. So let's give the guy a shot. But, yeah, that's about it for me. And we really just need to play these guys. Let them play. Let them play. Let them play a good first half. These guys are young. They could be playing the whole first half. Honestly, that's my big thing. But overall, C+, we definitely need some more work.
Okay. I'm gonna write that down. C+. All right. Let's see. I had the Titans overall at a C. My issue with Evan Engram, especially with Jerry Reese drafting him, because I don't think this is David Gettleman's tight end or most GMs type of tight end, because to me, he's more of a receiver than a tight end. He's tight end by position, but as far as receiver, I mean, as a tight end, I mean, you need a guy who's going to get down and dirty and block, and that's definitely was never his game at Ole Miss, and we said that on the draft show years ago, but before we even drafted him, or before Reese drafted him. So this doesn't surprise me. The only thing I can remember him doing positive this year, and Kristen, you were at that game. We had the tailgate, the Tampa game. He had the big touchdown catch at the start of the third quarter at Tampa Bay. Yeah. I just can't remember. I can't remember any memorable plays out of Evan Engram besides that play that got us back into the game.
No.
Right. Blocking wise, I don't even count on it. It's just not him. I mean, physicality wise, Evan Engram is just not your. To me, you know, as far as being the girth, like he's more slender, and he may get in your way, but he's not going to truck you. And I mean, that's not to say that he has to. He's not. If you're looking at today's 2020 type of tight end, guys who could do both were, you know, or when it was Gronkowski, or you had a guy, you know, before he retired, or you had like, you know, Ertz and Kelsey. If you had those dynamic two-way type of tight ends, or bigger tight ends like Watson's. Or some guys like that. That's just not him. He didn't play enough for me. He doesn't play enough for me. So I give him a C minus. Ellison's at a C. Ed, I thought about that as well because I was looking at his contract as well. And the Giants got to make these moves before you know save money on the cap. Ellison. You know, I think a lot of Giant fans did not like that signing when he came over from Minnesota. But the Giants is the type of team, even during the Reese season, you know, since Okorsi or Reese, they've never really, I mean, outside of Shockey, when they drafted them, I'm talking about they got these, you know, put in the, you know, the Kevin Bosses, you put in those type of tight ends, just go ahead and block and catch a pass for an occasional first down or a red zone touchdown. Ellison has that in him. And to your point, Ed, I want to see what Freddie Kitchens can, or even Jason Garrett can get out of Ellison if they decide to keep him on the roster. Now, I do like Caden Smith. I'm part of the hype, but I like the fact that he came in and was productive in the role that he did when he did come in. And I think he got cut by the 49ers, if I'm not mistaken. But Caden Smith, I think if he's back on his team, we need – I'm not exactly sure if we're going to go to tight end round as far as draft, but depends on what everybody's board is for best player available, so on and so forth. But for the overall unit, I have the tight ends at a C. Where I think they could get better, everywhere they, you know, you could catch a little bit better. You could steal blocks better, especially on the edge, and when you were on the edge with Remmers. If they had the double tight end set, it's kind of like almost at three wide receivers if you only have like Tate and Shepherd out there on the split ends or whatever. So my grade for the tight ends will be a C. Now we're going to get to the wide receivers real quick, but I see Bakes is on. Bakes, we're going through the list right now. If you want to just we'll get you up to speed right now, Bakes. We're grading. We already gave our overall grade on the offensive line, and we just gave our overall grade on the tight ends. If you could give us your grades real quick, your thoughts on the players, if you want to get into that, and then we'll go back to Ed, and so we get into the wide receivers. But Biggs, you first. Welcome back, frontliner, offensive line, tight ends. What's your thoughts, sir?
What's good, family?
What's good?
Hey.
Offensive line, I would say a C+. I'm very disappointed in the play of our left tackle and then the inconsistency with our center, especially with the injuries, and then definitely the lack of a push when it comes to the return game and then keeping Jones and Eli good protection to make plays, long plays down the field. So I think we struggled there. I think it's time to part ways with our left tackle, we need some upgrades. Remmers, I think he was up and down consistently. Hernandez, second year, he's coming on. But we need some upgrades. I don't know if we're going to address that in the free agency or the draft. But we definitely need to do something better with their line. You saw the decline. He had injuries, but decline in the running game. And the passing game was effective at the same time, but because DJ was mobile, it kind of made up for that. In terms of the tight end, I would say they're I'll give them a C. The problem we have at tight end is that we don't have a true tight end. We have two specialists. We have Rhett Ellison that we paid all that money to when we got McAdoo, and he never got on the field really. He's got a block and for run plays and block on the line, and we never really used him. And then we got Ingram, who's dynamic in passing, but he can't stay on the field because he's not healthy, and he can't really block. So we got two guys that neither one of them can do everything well. And, that's an issue. If we got a stud like an Olsen or, someone else that can, get grimy and block and open up the middle for us and be a safety net for DJ, that'd be more something that we need to do. I don't know if we're going to address that in free agency or in the draft. But I give them a C. It's frustrating because I think Ingram is really talented in the offensive, but then he can't stay. Even if that he's being a specialist, he can't stay healthy. And the point is, to be that young and he can't stay healthy, then you can't block. Although we could probably develop that, but you don't have the affinity for blocking. That was never your skill set, like you said, coming out of college. That's frustrating. And then Rhett Ellison barely gets on the field. So, and I'm not familiar with the ones after, third string, but so that's a frustrating position, at least for me. But I think offensive line is something that has to be addressed, first. And then if we have an opportunity, if someone falls to us or we can get, an upgrade at that tight end position, we need to go for that. So that's where I'm looking for it for the new season.
All right. I got a question for Ed, and we can jump into to the running backs. Or no, we'll go to the wide receivers. We'll go to wide receivers. Ed, my question to you, let me ask you this, man. I think we're all in the ballpark of what I think base just hit on it as far as we don't have that dynamic tight end. Giants historically never was really that organization to go that. Now, Dave Gettleman's been trying to convince ownership of getting into analytics and hiring analytics. A team now because Pat Shurmur got fired. But here's my question to you. Do you think the Giants, even this offseason, are going to address a dynamic tight end? The reason why I bring that up is Jason Garrett's now on this team. For years he's had Jason Witten. He's also had, you look at other young quarterbacks. Look at the two young quarterbacks who went to the Super Bowl. You had Garoppolo, who had George Kittle, who came out of Iowa. You had Patrick Mahomes, who has Travis Kelce. You have within the division alone, you have Carson Wentz throwing to Zach Ertz. Why can't we? Is it even in our situation? Daniel Jones, a young quarterback, needs a dynamic tight end in between the hashes. What's your thoughts on that? Do you think the organization is going to go that route? And then we'll jump into another category.
Yeah, I don't know. It's we have to see. I think. It would be nice to have that. I think the last all-around player that we had was Jeremy Shockey. Although there was a couple of tight ends that were pretty good during the Super Bowl years. With Evan Ingram, you're making a good point. He's more of a receiver than he is a pass blocker, but he really doesn't have the body. He's not that tall receiver that you could put out there. He's fast. He's got good speed, but he doesn't break off the line quick. He doesn't have quick moves, to be on a receiver. So, and I think a receiver would shut him down. So then it becomes size. So yeah, I would love to see a Kelce or a Kittle and a tight end like that. Maybe we're going to see that because now you have a new offensive line coach. You have a whole different mentality, and I think that they're going to preach to the general manager as to what they want moving forward. And I think that mm-hmm. was a big part of Dallas's game. Was the tight end position and having someone that could do both. Like I said, I think they underutilized Ellison, and I think Ingram didn't get the credit that he deserved as being a pass blocker, although he was a horrible run blocker. And that's the difference there. You know, he was not good in the run game, but none of them were. Does that answer your question? I mean, I'd like to see.
Absolutely.
I don't know what's going to happen. I think that you have a more of a possibility of that happening because of the coaching staff that you have now.
All right. Now, Kristen, before we move on, do you have a question on the tight ends for Bakes, myself, or Ed? And then we'll move on to wide receivers.
No, just a real quick comment.
Okay.
Like you said about Dallas, my favorite people. The only guy I really give credit, and I've always liked the guy, was Jason Witten. He was a giant killer.
Mm-hmm.
We feared that guy. Every time he came on the field, he's going to drag us for at least another 15 yards. And he's going to get the touchdown every friggin' time. He killed us in the red zone. That's the kind of guy we need. Big body that can drag a few guys that's not afraid. That's all we need. That's all I wanted to say. Okay, next.
I hope we do not go after Jordan Reed. I know he's been released today by the Redskins.
Want him either.
Injury-wise, I mean, talent-wise, he's got it. But, sometimes the Giants could be susceptible to going with guys who, you know, shouldn't be touching because of their injury history. You think we can take a flyer on them? All right, Ed, let's get to the wide receivers, man. Wide receivers, Shepard, Lattimore, both Shepards, Slayton, and the Golden Tates. Your grade overall on the wide receivers, and we'll go to Kristen and then Bakes.
Well, I'm really just looking at the top three, and I think it's a position that needs upgrading. I think Darius Slayton came on strong. I mean, this is a kid that really I didn't expect him. He way overachieved and exceeded my expectations. I gave him a B+. I think that you know, he made a lot of great catches, but there were some times he disappeared in games and he wasn't able to get open. It appears. Sterling Shepard is a number two receiver. He's getting paid, you know, high number two, low number one money. You know, I give him a C+ only because, you know, again, he had too many concussions. And I fear for his career. One more concussion and he might be out of this league. Golden Tate, he missed the first, what was it, four games
four.
In the season? Or was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And that hurt. And then when he came on, it took him a while to get into a rhythm. He had some really good games, and I'd give him like a C+ or a B-. I don't see him as that number one receiver. And Darius Slayton, not quite sure if he's going to be that guy. This is a really solid draft class for receivers, and I'm not saying to pick him in the first round at, you know, where the Giants are sitting, but they might be able to get a receiver. You know what? They may pick a receiver. They may go receiver. You got Juice, right? From Clemson, right? Or is he with Alabama? Anyway, there's some solid
Alabama,
players
yeah.
in the draft.
There's a couple of guys out there.
What's that?
There's a few guys out there that are ready. You got the kid from Notre Dame too.
Yeah,
he's awesome
too.
The wide receiver.
So they need it. They need a big receiving threat. They need a guy. You know what? Say what you want about Odell Beckham Jr. I loved Odell. I didn't like his antics, but I think that if he was on this team last year and if he behaved like an adult, it would have made a big difference for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones needs that kind of a receiver. So I gave them overall a C+, but I think that there's a way to go because, you know, you have 5 to 6 receivers that are going to be on the squad, and I think that they could do better. And again, I fear for Shepard's career. I don't know that he's going to be going to have a long career based on the concussions that he's having.
All right. Kristen, you're great on the wide receivers.
And, you know, that's so sad about Shepard because that all could have been avoided. A lot of that could have been avoided, him going right back into playing and talks of them trying to push this kid into playing was just a bad idea. I feel so bad for him. I hope it doesn't happen, but Slayton, I like him. I hope to God he's going to be that guy this year. I really think he is with everything coming in and all this new help and all this fresh air that came in. I give him a B. Shep, I give him a C, and that's not all his fault. He was injured. He did have a couple of drop passes. He was misstepped a couple of times. He was off a few steps and catching the ball, which is, you know, that's your job. That's your only job. Tate, I also gave him a C. He was also injured. So overall, the receivers, I give them a solid C.
All right, let's go to Bakes. Your grades on the wide receivers.
Yeah, I think the consensus was it was a consistent level of inconsistency across the wide receiver slate. Slayton came on. He was surprising. He was like my light version of an Odell Beckham Jr. He was the only real playmaker from the wide receiver core, but there was still some inconsistency still for a young player. Hopefully he gets better and he builds a rapport with DK moving forward. But I don't think he's our future number one overall. We still need to fix that. Golden Tate, I don't know if we're keeping him this coming season. I was wondering why he didn't get in more on more plays once he got back. Maybe it was a lack of a rapport with DJ or with Eli when, you know, Eli was playing. But he made, when he did get the ball, he did make plays. But it was inconsistent in how when he got targets. So I didn't understand that either. And all the other ones, they were, you know, they made plays here and there. So it was a level of inconsistency. And it was in part not all their faults, but there were some drops, which is, you know, part of the game too. But their job is to make plays. And, you know, you got to leave it out on the field. And a lot of times that wasn't the case. But I think that's something that needs to be addressed in the draft. You know, mm-hmm. I share Ed Center. I was a big Odell fan. And, you know, I'm not going to start. But I thought that was a big mistake that Gettleman made. But that's neither here nor there. He's no longer here. But we need to improve on the wide receiver court. And, we need a player to stretch the field. And sometimes Slayton provided that option, and sometimes he didn't. But we need a player to stretch the field to give space for Saquon to run, too. It's all a perfect balance. If we don't address those issues, you'll see not in the box because they know he's a threat. But if you have someone to stretch the field, that gives him opportunities to make plays in space, whether it's through the short pass, or through getting a handoff. And we need that. So we need a deep threat. And we need a big wide receiver over the middle. And those things we need to address.
All right. So you said C. Did I hear that right? C?
Yeah, a C.
Okay. All right. I had a C minus for the wide receivers. I had Tate at a C minus. I had his pass blocking at a B plus, but his pass catcher is above average. But the C minus was more of a not because of the availability, the suspension. I was really hard on things like that, where you're a player, you're in the off season, you're in control of a lot of that stuff. No matter what the reasons are or how good it sounds and what you bring to the appeals, at the end of the day, those four games kind of hurt us, man. I mean, we were counting on him as the number one wide receiver to replace Odell Beckham Jr. Those first four games, if you really want to go there, it might be a stretch. It cost Eli Manning his tenure as a Giants quarterback. Now, not to say I'm not trying to defend Eli. I love Eli, but at the same time, your number one wide receiver was not available for the home the away Dallas game, the home Buffalo game, and then you had to make the change week three for Daniel Jones because your number one wide receiver was unavailable due to suspension. So I grade down because of that. Sterling Shepard, to your point, Kristen, I think you said a C. I gave him a C minus. There was occasional a lot of he's susceptible to a lot of drops. Now I don't know if that's going to be health related with his concussions, like Ed said, but that is an issue. I'm not going to tell you my draft board because I've been planning for it, and wide receiver is on the board. But the issue right now I have with the Giants is like Bake said, but it's beyond stretching the field for me because you got to have guys on the line of scrimmage who's going to be able to pass block for that long so you could get down the field. But Sterling Shepard was a C minus for me because I think there was a lot of times where Some inaccurate balls, more so from Daniel Jones than Eli Manning. We'll get to those guys a little bit later, where Sterling Shepard, even though he had a reason, reach for the ball, reach back and catch the ball, he dropped a lot of those in big spots, like second, he could have made a second and nine, maybe to a third and one or third and two. So that we were shooting ourselves in the foot with things like that, and a lot of that came from guys like him. Corey Lattimore really irks me, man. I don't know what to say, man. This guy, I don't know how he was still on the team throughout all those games, man. I gave him a D+. I know, Ed, you were focusing on the first top three. I get you. He because of grades wise, he's not even – he was one of the – if not the lowest graded receiver on my list. Again, Darius Slayton, I never thought I would have seen this out of his first year because I watched him at Auburn. I watched Jarrett Stidham throw the football in the SEC. My thing is I didn't think he was going to break out like that, but I think that had a lot to do with Daniel Jones and Slayton having a lot of reps throughout the summer. So when you're like Eli Manning was going into the season as a starter, he's probably throwing more reps to Tate and Sterling Shepard, where you see Daniel Jones on the sideline probably throwing a lot of balls to Slayton. They had a lot of rapport, man. And they probably had a lot, even going back to the combine. So they had a chemistry there that you could just tell. I mean, that's why the production from those two were the best at the quarterback to wide receiver combination. C- for me on the wide receivers. Let's see, pass blocking. I gave Slayton a C. Lattimore, he's actually a decent pass blocker, but he's about a B-C+. Sterling Shepard is a below average pass blocker, and I think Tate is an above average pass blocker when you could get a running back on the outside. But my grade overall for the wide receivers is a C-. Let's get to the backs, and that means I think we may have to split this into. I mean, we didn't really have a fullback, so we'll just forget the fullbacks. We're going to just scratch that all together, man. Let's get to the running backs, man. Combination of we got Barkley, we got Wayne Gallman, those type of guys, Elijah Penny's. Ed, your grade overall on the running backs, and then if you want to get to the individuals.
Well, the overall grade I gave a C+. Saquon Barkley, again, he was out a significant portion of the season, and then when he came back, it took him a while to get up to speed, and some of the ineffectiveness was not his fault. He got better as the end of the season progressed. You know, I'm sorry to say, I only gave him a C+. Mm-hmm. I think he regressed as a pass catcher, but I think that Jones didn't utilize his checkdowns, and he didn't utilize him when he was out there. So that's part of it too. So, and then the offensive line, they didn't have a lot of hold. I mean, he was supposed to go to an intended gap and then he'd get stopped or he'd try to cut back. And I don't think that they moved him in the right directions either, where you had some effectiveness going on the right side of the line versus the left side of the line. They were running to the left side. So, and they were trying to run up the gut too much too. They were trying to develop a bruising attack, and that wasn't what this offense was about. They didn't have the offensive line for it, and they didn't have the backs for it. Saquon Barkley is the kind of a back that's got to get a lot of reps, and he'll run for one, he'll run for three, he'll run for five, he'll run for two, and then he's going to run for 60. You know, so he's a big playmaker. If you take a look at Wayne Gallman, he's a disappointment, and I think it's time to move on from Wayne Gallman. I gave him a D-. I think it's time to move on. And then you have Allen, who was a really good pass blocker and a decent runner. I think he's somebody that they would bring back and compete for a job. What I'd like to see is a bruising north-south runner for this team. You know, somebody that's powerful, that's going to wear down the defense. I'd like to see them have a complement to Barkley, and it's not Wayne Gallman. I need to find somebody else to bring in so they could upgrade this position. I gave the position a C+. That's where I'm at with that.
All right, cool. Let's go to Kristen and go to Biggs.
Daniel Jones. My problem with Daniel Jones is He has to be quicker and more powerful with his passes.
We're on
a
the
lot
running
of those passes
we're on
getting.
Running
oh, I'm.
Are you, oh, you're
oh,
on
we
the
are? I'm sorry.
Running back.
That's
running
what
back.
I thought. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Saquon. I'd have to give him a C. Honestly, I'd have to give the running back a C altogether. It's
okay.
A combination. With injuries, again, it's just kind of a repeat of before, but they've just got to get it going. They really do. But I it's overall, it's a C. Even for Saquon, I even give him a C.
Okay. And that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, I'm going to come back to you for any questions for Ed and Biggs. Biggs, running backs, your overall and individually, if you want to get into that.
Yeah, I think overall the consensus is a C, but it's not all their fault. The combination of the poor offensive line play or ineffectiveness of offensive line play, ineffectiveness of the passing game, poor game management and play calling. Like Ed mentioned, a lot of calls or runs up the middle. You have a dynamic running back in Saquon Barkley, even though he got injured for a good portion of the season. You're a dynamic runner, and you're running him up the middle where we are the weakest in our line, and you're not running a trap or off tackle or a sweep or something to get him in space to make him make plays. That's a lot of the things you remember from the previous season was he'll get the ball and bounce it out, could not bounce it out. And then a lot of times on him, too, he was always going for the home run on the home run play, which is a problem, too, because you're not going to always get the home run. Sometimes you got to take the 2-3 yards, but you're cutting back to get more yards and you lose 2-3 yards. So that was some frustration in that as well. Because but
good
we
point.
Also knew because we didn't have any dynamic playmaker to stretch the field, they could also the defense could also stack the box with 9. Because they knew our best player was Saquon Barkley. So,
mm-hmm.
And then we don't have a good blocking tight end, and our wide receivers on our average run game blockers. So, you know, it's a combination. We all know that Saquon is a great talent, and you know, but when he needs some complimentary, like something, why are we not running out of the eye? Why we don't have a blocking fullback or H-back
yes.
or something to
yes.
help us.
I don't
understand why we don't have that, but that's maybe wasn't part of Shermer's offensive playbook.
Mm-hmm.
So it's frustrating, but it's a C overall. But I don't want to give them all the blame. There's a lot of nuances in offense. It's just not them alone that caused the play. Gallman did also regress, and the other guy, I think it was Hillman,
mm-hmm.
He had fumble issues. He had
yeah.
fumble issues, and that's not good either. So, you know, so a lot of things go into reason why the run game suffered a lot, not just the actual running backs. But, you know, they got to take steps for the upcoming season to fix those issues.
All right. Now, before I get to my grades, Chris had inboxed me. This is not a bromance, so this is part of the show. Chris says Slayton. He says Slayton will have a breakout season under the new regime. Golden Tate was
yes.
a C. Shepard was a D. His overall grades for the wide receivers was a C. Let me say this: I gave the running backs a B minus. This was one of the tricky ones because. Okay, I understand the overall grade as far as combining Barkley, Gallman, and Hillman, and Elijah Penny. But here's the thing about this in particular that I think has more effect than any other position or on the roster because Barkley held the entire weight of the production of the running back core. So what I'm trying to say is it could have been the grade could have been a lot worse. So he had the bulk of the carries even when he came back. That was really mind-boggling, the fact that, he didn't really have a running man. Like, he took a lot of snaps, and he barely had to catch his breath on the sidelines because Gallman regressed, injured, banged up. Hillman could have stayed healthy. You know, he was fumbling in a week versus the Redskin game when we should have really smoked them. So we had a lot of issues with our backup running backs that kept Barkley in the lineup. And I hate to grade him harshly because I gave him an A-. But the A-, and why he was an A last year, but A-, he could have even been a B+. His area where I had an issue with was blitz pickup. He struggled with blitz pickup a little bit here and there. You could go back to the Detroit game where I remember that post game, Billy Bob went off on a rant, and he was absolutely correct.
I remember that.
People only want to look at the end result. Don't get me wrong, because we're going to get to the quarterbacks next. Daniel Jones had his issues with fumbles, but a couple of times here and there, the blitz pickup not there, and that was on the running back. And then when you go back to the tape and watch it, and I could send you the clips of the games I've recorded, Barkley struggled on blitz pickup. Detroit game comes to mind. Minnesota game comes to mind. Arizona game comes to mind. So, but he did clean that up as the season went on. But the problem with that is our season was already done. It was over with. He did improve on called for what it's worth versus Washington. Called for what it's worth the other game before Washington. He struggled with the blitz pickup. But overall, when he was healthy, he was battling with that ankle. You know, he injured that ankle week 3 at Tampa right before the half. I say all this to say, Gallman, to your point, Biggs, I had him at a D, and Hillman was like a D-. And I also, because I love Hillman, because, coming out of Rutgers, and I thought he was going to, use that, opportunity coming from Plainsfield, New Jersey, to get that thing done. And he had his fumble issues, man. That was heartbreaking to see. Now, I always wonder, Ed, I don't know, if you want to say this when it's your turn to go on the quarterback, if Rod Smith would have been still on his team, because remember, Rod Smith was competing for a running back spot. Who knows? He may have had a chance on this team if, Colombo and Garrett, would have been here a year later. Who knows? That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think Allen replaced that player. But, nobody knew what was going to happen with Saquon. And you're right. When he came back, he still wasn't 100%. He was still hobbling around there, right. So he missed the fourth, fifth, and sixth games. He was only out 3 games with a high ankle sprain. And I think, Kristen, you mentioned they brought him back too fast. I agree.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Biggs mentioned something about stacking the box. And it came to mind that we didn't see the audibles with Daniel Jones that we saw with Eli Manning. So when there's 8 in the box, and he still, runs the ball where he should have checked out. And again, taking the yards too when he's running, instead of trying to get a big play out of something, take the yards. I thought that was a great remark too. That was a great observation.
Let me ask you this, Ed and Kristen and Biggs, if you guys could quickly answer. I think this is one of those situations where Barkley was hurt. Yeah, he came back from the high ankle sprain. But here's the thing, though. He was trying to earn the respect in the locker room for that captainship. That C on his jersey, he was trying to earn it. I really believe that he came back too quick because he wanted to show that locker room, I'm here for the team no matter what. I can't knock that. So you think that kind of,
team leader, you're right. If he probably wanted to get on the field, you're right.
Right. What's your thoughts on that, Kristen?
Yeah, I can see that.
Absolutely.
I can see that.
Absolutely. They need leadership, and he knew that he was the guy. There is nobody else. There is no one else. So he had to. So he played through the pain. We saw it. He wasn't 100%. He's not running at his full capacity. When he played college ball, his films were spectacular. He's got to get that space. That's all he needs is space. Give him that a couple of seconds, and he's out. That's it. He can't be beat.
All right. Chris says Barkley, for all the reason Biggs gave, gets a B. team get, I guess running backs get a B overall, considering the house fire of an offensive scheme given him. You know, I hated the fact that they did not use – maybe that's part of the reason why his injury. Later in the year, remember, especially the last three games, they started using him at the – it was about touches with me about Barkley, not necessarily rushes. I've been kind of saying that all regular season. Get him the ball. Make sure a linebacker goes out there to cover him. He's going to beat him one-on-one as far as, you know, catching in a slant or whatever. I think that injury really bothered him. And we'll see a stronger year three out of him.
That's a great point, Steve. That's a great point. You know, when did we see him go out for a wheel route, you know, and be one-on-one against the linebacker that's following him? And you're right. They didn't utilize him properly in the passing game, and I think that this is a guy that could easily be, you know, could have over 200 yards a season between running and passing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
All right. Let's get to the QBs. Quarterbacks: Eli Manning, Daniel Jones. If you want to, Alex Tanney holding the clipboard. Ed, if you want to get to that, if you want to grade his clipboard holding skills, you can.
Well, quarterback. You know, I kind of really didn't, you know, I thought Eli was I think it was they figured that they weren't going to have the team on the field that they needed to have. And I felt that after two games that it was their right decision to make it about developing a quarterback, and Eli took the hit for it. I still think that Eli can play at a high level in this game, but he retired, and I wish him well. I think that he played. I was at that last game, you know, where he started at home, and it was. I'm so glad that I was there, and it was very special. And he played a great game. But to move on with Daniel Jones, who's the future of this team, I like Daniel Jones, and I think he's got a solid arm. He's got a nice touch to the ball. I think he's got good accuracy. I'm very concerned about his security issues with the ball and his pocket awareness. And I don't think that they utilized him. I think they tried to keep him to work within the pocket and move within the pocket. They didn't utilize him as much rolling out, and they tried to keep him from getting injured and using his legs. I think he could have used his legs a lot more. I thought he did well for a rookie starter. And really, even with all of those fumbles and the ball security issues, and like Big said, it wasn't all on him. And you said it too, Steve. You know, it was the running backs that failed to pick up some of those blitzes, and didn't happen. I still gave him a B. And so I think the part of this that we have to take a look at is, well, what are they going to do as a backup quarterback? I don't see them drafting one. They need somebody who's experienced. So are they going to stick with Alex Tanney, who really was a big help in the quarterback room? They like what he brought to the table, and he's somebody that can help develop and mentor. But that's what the coaches are for too. So what happens if Daniel Jones gets hurt because Eli was an iron man? Who should you have as the backup quarterback? Should they take a look and see about bringing in somebody who was a starter and maybe can come in and start a couple of games? You know, could it be a Geno Smith? There's a lot of free agent quarterbacks on the market. Some of them are going to stay with their teams. Some of them are going to move. They want to be starters. But there's a whole list of them there, and I think they're going to take a serious look at that backup quarterback position. I don't know what they're going to do with it. I don't know that Alex Tanney can win a game for them. And that's, I don't know how you all feel about that. It's an unknown because he never really was a starter. He's never been in a game. But he's an accurate quarterback, and he understands the game. He's a student of the game. I just think, you know, you got to give him a chance. And I think they bring too many quarterbacks into camp, too many quarterback arms. So when it gets to the preseason, you need to give your backup quarterback more starts to see what he's got, especially with a situation here with Daniel Jones being a rookie, and he's already been injured once, and he's a mobile quarterback. He doesn't have the muscle tone yet. We'll see how he comes back this season after weight training program in the off season, and maybe he's going to come back with maybe gain 10, 15 pounds of some muscle. But he looks like somebody that, you know, the wrong hit's going to lay him out. So overall, the quarterbacks, I gave him a B. I thought that the offensive line hurt him. I thought the pass blocking at times hurt him. both of the quarterbacks, and I think it wasn't all their fault. I think that if they had the Dallas offensive line, they would have played significantly better. They would have had a better run game. It would have been a better balance, and that's my take on the quarterback position.
All right, let's go to Kristen. Kristen, your thoughts, your grades on the quarterbacks.
Oh, this is hard. Alex Tanny, I don't see him as that guy that's going to come in and just save the day. I don't see it at all. I really do think we need to get a backup quarterback. I really do. My only issue with DJ is ball security. I agree 100%, but that's hopefully going to come with experience. But he's got to be quicker and more powerful with his passes. A lot of those passes were being batted down this year because of it. It wasn't fire like Eli can throw. You know, they do throw similar. The only thing is I do like Dimes because he rolls out of the pocket. I do like that. He did really well at the Bucs game. I was really impressed with how he played then. But like I said, he's got to put more power in those passes. He's got to be. Accuracy, he's got it. He's got it. But he's just got to be quicker and put more power on him, and those balls wouldn't get batted down so much. It's tough, but I still give them both a C+, and it's both, of course, still both not their fault. It's collectively a team effort. You know, when your line breaks down, you have seconds. You have milliseconds to make that decision of what you're going to do. So, you know, it's not solely their fault, but overall, both of them C+.
All right. Let's go to Bakes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give them a C+. So I'm tough on quarterbacks because they make all the money. They get all the glory. So my problem with DJ is ball security, like we've all said, because if you can't handle that exchange, that's the minimum thing you got to do is get that exchange. And you can't, and you keep fumbling that ball away. I had a problem from preseason. I'm like, when is this guy going to fix this thing? So that's a big issue he carried into the season. And then his pocket awareness. And I know he's a rookie. Yes, I know examples like Peyton Manning threw all these interceptions and had all these issues and turned around and been a great quarterback after his first year. So I'm gonna watch him carefully season two. He's gotta eliminate those issues with ball security, pocket awareness with the strip sacks and things like that. I will say he got good speed. He's got moxie. He doesn't get deterred, which is good for a quarterback, especially playing in New York or the tri-state area, that you don't get deterred by, you know, losing or a bad play, and he just shakes it off, continues to play. I like his arm strength, but what I need to – he definitely got to stay in the film room more and be able to study the defenses, to be able to check out the plays, like when they stack in the box, to change the play, not staring down the target receiver, things of that nature. Eli was Eli. We know Eli has been an Iron Man for us. He didn't get a fair shake this year, but Eli also has been kind of stealing money for a lot of years. Not all his fault, but, you know, they didn't put a team around him to be successful. But we know Eli, we know what he brought every year. And I'm glad he at least left on a win, left 500. So, you know, his play was the play we've been seeing for the last 4 or 5 years. But it was time, in my opinion, to move on from Eli to get somebody that was more dynamic, plays, roll out the pocket, make plays with their legs, and that's what Daniel Jones brings. In terms of what's our depth at wide receiver, at quarterback, we definitely need to find someone. I say we get a savvy veteran that can still play and also can continue to mentor DJ if he continues to be our starter to help him get better, because he still needs some development. And but C+, I think he should make a jump second year, especially if they get him some playmakers and give him some security that, you know, he can move safely around the pocket and make plays looking down the field. So I think at that position, we're good. I think we're good. And if those things can get fixed. Now, he goes to the second year with some of those issues, he might have an issue because he's kind of coming. I mean, playing in college, he was getting beat up all the time. And I don't know if he had the fumble issues there too. I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look. But that's a trend that we can't have for a starting quarterback, is to be so giving with the football, especially fumbling. Interceptions, I can deal with. You're trying to make plays, but just fumbling the ball on a snap and strip, we can't have that at all. So hopefully those get eliminated year two.
All right. I want to say for the quarterbacks, I had the quarterbacks overall at a C. I'm going to get the Eli Manning first. Oh, actually, Kristen, before I forget, we may have to do an episode, Kristen. Our favorite team athletes that steal money. I mean, shoot, we could write a book.
Ellsbury, oh, my God. Get your pen.
John Carlos Stanton. Eli Manning. Henry Lundqvist. We can write a book. But that's
all New York teams. KGYR.
Bobby Bonilla. Bobby Bonilla. We
Good
can add that
God.
To the list.
What a mess.
Okay, Eli Manning, C-minus for me. He didn't set the – I hate to say – because I'm not going over his history as the quarterback. I'm just talking about 2019. You start off the season at Dallas. You lose – I mean, you got – ran off the field. I mean, Bakes, that's a game you attend, especially in warm weather. It's not even warm weather. It's inside a dome.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
And you should be able to score on that AstroTurf or whatever that kind of turf it is. Eli in that first game, he stat padded. I mean, you would say, dang, Eli didn't have a bad game. But when you need to key conversions, keep the team on the field, he did not do well opening day. And then a lot of that was the defense. They were getting shredded. But they just offensively was really shot the entire game. No life, no whatsoever. Then the Buffalo game, when you were up in that game, all you had to, you know, all you had to do was outgun Josh Allen. And Josh Allen, I think that's the reason why they brought Daniel Jones in, not to say, you know, with Eli Manning. They were watching Josh Allen scramble and score for touchdowns, and they were playing tough defense. And you know Eli can't scramble. That's why I believe that they said, no, we're going to make the change. They watched Josh Allen run over the Giants opening day or the home opener at MetLife week two. And then I think Eli didn't really have a thing. He didn't even have a good, he had an okay game in the win versus Miami, but he still threw interceptions he should not have thrown in that game, in the Miami game. Even the game we won and the fan base went crazy, all Eli's bad. No, he's not. You know, Eli had an eye game, but he threw a lot of interceptions he should not have when we were already up big in that game, in that third quarter. You know, it should have been even a more of a separation in that game. The Monday night game versus Philadelphia, you know what? They thought he had the magic in him. You remember they had played a very good first half. He had the touchdown to Slayton, but could not close the deal in the second half. That game went into overtime. You talk about one of the games that pissed me off. I mean, I'm not saying it's Eli's fault, but he was the quarterback in that game. They should have finished off the Eagles in the second half in that rainy Monday night game. That's Eli Manning. Now, Daniel Jones, I said Manning's a C-minus. Jones is a C. I want to start off with the good games. Bakes, you already know. Kristen, you already know. That first game he won was everything for that Giants that weekend that weekend in Florida, the Tampa Bay game. He was fantastic in the second half, that Tampa Bay game. The Jets game, he was actually fantastic as well. I thought he played very well going, match for match with Sam Darnold. And then the Washington game, I mean, he played his butt off. Now, the season was already over at that point, but I'm only going off what I saw, and he played very well in those three particular games. The games he stunk, whew, man, uh-huh. Minnesota, the Arizona game in the rain. The Kristen, we were at that game.
My gosh, so bad.
And then, That was
winnable
game.
Winnable game.
I was livid.
I was beyond.
He just got out schemed in the Thursday night game versus the Patriots. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you can't go. That was just not fair, man. I mean, that snow game, the December 1st game. He got outgunned in that snow. He was bad in that game, and then the last game, the Philadelphia game. He just looked lost, deer in the headlights. Ed, you hit it. That's the number one issue: is the ball security. Don't go any further than that. Secure the ball. That's where I'm at with Daniel Jones. Other than that, I think he has an upside. He has a live arm. You could tell by the zip on his passes. Because you see when Eli throws the ball, he has a lot of air under his ball. Where, not to say Daniel Jones is like Patrick Mahomes quick, but he has a lot more zip that gets to the point. I said it earlier in the show. The pass to Evan Engram to start the second half in Tampa Bay was prime example. He can wing it, man. He's just got to secure the football better, and he can start. Then we can work on something with these quarterbacks as a unit. But I gave the quarterbacks a C overall. I want to get to what they said on the Bleed Blue Show page. They left their grades. Let's see. They gave the offense overall a C- by Eric. Eric gives it a C-. Pretty disappointed outing by the revamped O-line. I agree. And Barkley's injury woes didn't help. But Jones gives me hope for the future with some more talent added around him. A comment from Drew Murphy, glimpses of potential greatness, however, simply needed a better direction with better coaching and players. The Worm gives the offense a D+. And Mark McCormick gives the offense overall a D. 4-12 record, O-line bad. That is from the Bleed Blue Show page. Ed, let's get some final thoughts from you. Ed from the Big Blue Huddle, GiantsFans.net. And, of course, we'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll get to the Ed, do you have any thoughts on the Combine, on your final thoughts as well? 2 weeks, we'll get into the our thoughts on the Combine, basically.
No, I don't have any thoughts on the Combine yet. I want to, but I will be watching it. We all have access to it now, so I'll be interested in see what happens at the Combine, because I think that's going to predicate where some of these players are going to be slotted in the draft and how they're going to be graded by certain teams. I think the Giants have a lot of needs, and I think that offensive tackle is one. I think they need a linebacker, and I think they need a playmaking receiver. But I think somewhere in there they need to figure it out. I don't know if he's going to trade down or not. I have a feeling he's just going to stay put. What I'm excited about is the offensive coaching staff. I like Jason Garrett as an offensive coordinator. He was a good offensive coordinator before he became a head coach. He knows how to call a game. He's a good leader. I like Jerry Stiplinski as a quarterback coach. I think he's going to be great developing Daniel Jones. I really like Burton Burns, the running back coach out of Alabama. And I think that he's going to make a significant difference there. I love the offensive line coach in Mark Colombo. I think we're going to see a big increase there. Tolbert's back as the receiving coach. They retained him as a receivers coach. I'm excited. I don't know a lot about Ben Wilkerson, the offensive line assistant offensive line coach, but what I see here is a much better coaching staff on the offensive side of the ball, and it's something to be excited about. So I think that alone has got me more excited going into this season, because I think they're going to get the proper coaching, the proper teaching. I think they're going to minimize the mistakes that they made, and I think they're going to really key in on ball protection. And so that's my final thoughts.
Ed from the Big Blue Huddle, the Big Blue Huddle Board, and GiantsFans.net. Thank you very much for your analysis, your thoughts on this episode. And like we said, we will be back in 2 weeks. Kristen, your final thoughts. And then anything you'd like to say to the stakeholders, and then we go to Bakes.
Great commentary from everybody tonight. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad I was able to join the show. I've missed it for 2 weeks, so it's like being without therapy. So it's great to hear everybody call in tonight. But my final thoughts, cut Ogletree, Martin, Bethea, and Ellison, and we can move on. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue. I hear that. So, Blee Blue, let's go to Bakes. Your final thoughts, Bakes, from the Frontliners. Final thoughts.
It's great to be back, and always good commentary with the stakeholders. I'm concerned, man. I'm not going to pull no punches. The reason why I'm concerned, as my final thought, is that we know football is a game of habits and a game of cohesion, and we have so many new moving pieces, another all-new coaching staff. We've kind of turned the corner now with Eli retiring, so we're really rebuilding now, and it takes a while. There's going to be more changes with players getting cut and new players coming in. How long is it going to take for that core to gel and make and be consistent to make plays? Because I am personally tired of losing. I'm not accustomed to it. I've been a Giants fan since 86, maybe not as long as some other people, but I've seen some winning and some consistency, and it's been consistently inconsistent. So I am concerned because I am tired of the losing. I hold up hope because we have some really good pieces, but I'm concerned that we're going to waste great talent like Saquon Barkley and have him under his rookie contract and not be able to do anything with such a great player. But I'm trying to be positive, and hopefully this new analytics-minded New York Giant front office will make some great moves. I'm concerned. I don't think Gettleman's our solution. So I am gravely concerned. But yet I remain hopeful because I am a Giant fan and I bleed blue, win, lose, draw. Love you guys. See you in 2 weeks.
All right. you can imagine, Bakes, that, Gettleman getting into the analytics world. What is this, Microsoft? What is this? What's this?
Exactly.
What's a PowerPoint?
How you turn the laptop on?
How you do this calculator on this cell, man? We're gonna put the grades on the Blee Blue Show page, and we're gonna put it out there and share. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll have the combine conclusion episode. No, Banks, let me ask you this real quick. Because we got everybody's opinion. Kristen kind of reserved her. Let me ask you this because we only got one more minute. Bakes, my question to you, they got the NFL update with the CBA. Proposed owners want to go to a 17th game, one less preseason game, one extra regular season game, add an extra team to the playoffs for each conference. Only the number one seed gets a bye. Do you like that on a summary level, what I just said?
It's different. I was listening to it this morning when I was listening to one of those morning shows. It's going to be different, and one of the guys in the show referenced how before it used to be six. Back in the day, it used to be six preseason games. So NFL is always evolving. I really like the idea of an extra team getting in. It gets a little bit more excitement. So it's always evolving. If the players like it, they'll sign it. Hopefully they get some more money on the back end. But it's something new because it's ever-changing. The NFL we was watching in 86 when I first came to this country is not the NFL we're watching now. So we gotta keep up with the involvement, the evolving of the time. So more than likely what the owners want, the owners get. So more than likely it'll happen. I don't really care about preseason games because the top players don't play in them anyway. So I would never even go to a preseason game. It's really to evaluate young talent. If it happens, I'm cool with it. If it doesn't happen, I'm cool with it too. But it'd be exciting to see the new lineup and an extra team playing. It brings some new nuances. So maybe it gives other teams that are on the cusp of getting to the playoffs some more effort to play better. So it's a way to look at it.
All right. I'll say this as we wrap up. Ed and Kristen and Biggs, thank you. I'll be back. But you know what? If they had to implement one more thing to the CBA, they definitely got to get that XFL kickoff rules in there, man. That's what's up. I like that. That XFL kickoff they got going on, that's popping right there. We could roll with that.
Yeah, they change some of those rules. And, let the players express themselves. you know, and, you know, keep the game fluid. Waste a lot of time with the game with stoppages and stuff. Got to keep the game fluid.
Yeah, they got it going on, absolutely. Be back in 2 weeks and get to the end of the combine and evaluate these players. Sangre Azul, please.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.